I think these the words that we sing in this chorus are so beautiful, aren't they? I've fallen in love with this song. Almighty God, in every way, you are above and beyond understanding. In the prayer meeting this morning, we had this verse, if we do not praise, the rocks will cry out. You know, God can create things out of nothing. The world was nothing, and he spoke the whole thing into being. He's a creator God. But there's a humility in here. The Bible calls it humility of mind. And it says, Almighty God, in every way, you are above and beyond understanding. We must acknowledge, really, it's only right, it only makes sense that we acknowledge that our minds and our understanding are very limited. I was just talking the other day to somebody who had some big questions he wanted answering. And to be honest, I didn't know the answers. And it's quite refreshing when you can actually admit, I don't know the answer. Some of the questions about God's justice, they are beyond understanding. What I do know is that the biggest person here, I can probably get my hands around their brain. I don't intend to do it. But, you know, if you look at it in the cold light of day, it can appear arrogant that we think that in these tiny, imperfect minds that we could understand everything about the universe. How proud is that? And yet sometimes we want to know all the answers all the time. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. He knows God. He knows everything, but we don't. And the Bible says if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing. The moment we think we've arrived in our judgment and our conclusion of something, we've come to the end of learning more. We must humble our minds. And this verse says, Almighty God. Yes. The mighty God who is available to us here today, who deigns to come and visit us poor creatures that he has made out of dust and clay and given us our minds. We need to bow our minds and our understanding to the one who is above and beyond understanding. In Romans 11, it says at the end, just before you get into the fantastic Romans 12 passage, it says these words, oh, the depths. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. And I explained this to this person who's asking the questions. How unsearchable, it says. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable are his ways. I don't know. I don't understand. But I do know God. And I can go to him and ask him to answer those big questions. But in the meantime, we have to humble our minds. David Brainerd, who was a man mightily used of God, he was a missionary. He died in the cause of the gospel. He was one of the many people like Wesley and Whitfield, highly intelligent people. He read the Bible, I think, a couple of times from beginning to end, and he still had these big questions, and he was fighting in his mind over the justice of God. But in the end, he decided that he would humble his mind and say, God, even though I don't understand your justice, I'll say yes to you. And he invited God to take over his life. And he yielded his mind to God's justice. And he was transformed and became a burning, fiery person full of the Holy Spirit. And we need to humble our tiny minds to God this morning, don't we? Let's do that, shall we? Father, we admit, Lord, today that we are on a journey and that we are beginners, Lord. Father, we want to put on our L plates today, Lord. We don't know. We don't even know where we're going. We haven't got a fixed idea of where we're going, Lord. And we certainly don't know how to get there, Lord. But we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you said when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. Father, we humble our minds before you today with our many questions, Lord. We admit our lack of knowledge, Lord. How unsearchable are your judgments? How unfathomable are your ways, Lord? Thank you, Lord, that eye has not seen. Father, our hearts cannot conceive what you've prepared for those that love you. We don't want to limit you to our understanding, Lord, today. We don't want to tick the boxes and say, yes, I know that. Lord, we ask today that you would give us a spirit of revelation. Give us a spirit of understanding, Lord. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Teach our minds, teach our hearts, Lord. I admit my lack of understanding, Lord. My need to be taught, Lord. I admit I'm on a journey, Lord. Just on a journey. And you are my teacher and the good shepherd. Father, help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we looked at the parable of the friend who comes at midnight. Do you remember that? And we were talking about prayer, and there are some wonderful things in that story. And at the beginning of that story, they came to Jesus, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. What a great prayer. I'm learning to pray good prayers at the moment. I've got many. I listed them down the other day. There were 14 little prayers that I'm praying to God. And one of those prayers is, Lord, teach me to pray. In that the story, I'm going to read in a moment, Luke 18. Halfway through this passage, there's a story of the publican, the tax collector, and the Pharisee. And at the end of that, the Pharisee is praying, and he's saying, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this person, I'm not like that person, I pay my tithes, I do this, I do that, the other. Says he was praying to himself. And I counted the words, 33 words in that prayer, 33 words. At the end of that, the guy who got heard was the tax collector, and he just said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Seven words. Seven words that got him heard. Often in our long prayers, actually, if we're in a prayer meeting, our long prayers, we're really preaching to the other people. We're saying, listen to me. God's not listening, but, you know, we're hoping that other people are hearing our theology or our correction in our prayer. And we just need to learn to pray simple prayers. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God has agreed and ordained that when his people meet together, that he will come amongst them. But that's not because we're lovely people. That's not because we're fantastic. This isn't because we are the best people in the world. It's because of his mercy. I loved it when Dan Garvin, do you remember Dan Garvin? Big Dan, very big Dan, was with us over the summertime. In the prayer meeting, I noticed him praying. I love hearing other people praying and learning from their prayers. And what he was praying was he said, Lord, please come. Please come, Lord. Lord, come despite us. Despite us. Not because of us, but despite us. That's what mercy is. Lord, have mercy on us. Even this morning, Lord, would you have mercy on us, Lord? We don't deserve to be taught. We don't deserve to be here. But in God's mercy, Lord, in your mercy, would you teach us? Luke 18. He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I don't want to really share this morning in any particular order, but I just hope and pray that some of the thoughts may catch in your heart, and you would just go away today just remembering something that would make a difference in your prayer life particularly. Prayer is very, very important. You know, prayer, as I said last week, it's one of those words, you mention the word prayer, and some people can close up immediately. Oh, that's the thing I know I'm supposed to do, and I can't do so, I don't. I've given up praying, you know. I still pray a little bit because I know I can't survive without a bit of prayer, but really, I don't, this prayer thing, it's too hard. I'll leave that to others. You can't afford to. It's too important. It's the key between us and God. Remember that story about the friend at midnight? You are the friend in the middle of the two friends. God is this friend. There's my non-Christian friend or my needy friend. And I'm the one in the middle. And I must grab the good friend, the rich friend, and get bread from him for my neighbor. But first of all, I must get it for myself. Prayer is about, is the channel of God's grace. If we don't go to the throne of grace, we won't find grace and mercy. I love that verse. You know, it says that we must go with boldness, with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you aware of any need in your life this morning? Are you aware of any need? There is grace. It's the throne of grace, and every provision is made from that throne of grace. It's a throne of grace and a throne of mercy, and God is saying it's all here for you. But you must come to the throne of grace in order that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you don't come, you're not going to receive. The story, in this story, it's about the widow. And she comes to this judge. He seems to be an unwilling judge. You know, we had that in the story last week. The same theme, the same thing again. God seems unwilling to answer our prayer. He goes to the friend at midnight and he knocks on the door and he says, I need some bread for my friend. I need 3 loaves for my friend. He's come and I've got nothing to set before him. And the guy says, go away. Go away. I'm in bed. My children are in bed. Don't disturb me. I don't want to give you bread. And the person just keeps on knocking and knocking and knocking. And in the end, he says, all right. You can have what you want. In fact, you can have anything you need. It says in that passage. I think it's Luke 14, isn't it? Everything you need, you can have. But something had to happen before he got what he wanted. So God is there willing, he says, to give, and yet he's teaching us here that he is unwilling to give. There's a dichotomy here, isn't there? There's something strange happening here. And Jesus makes it very, very clear in his teaching that there seems to be an unwillingness for God to give to us. Shouldn't it be that you just come to the meeting at the end and you just put your hand in the air, I'm receiving, and we get everything we need? Doesn't happen that way. Because in the time that God does not answer our prayer, he is doing something in us. He's doing something in us. Somebody once said, God is more interested in your character than your comfort. God withholds answers to prayer because he wants to do something in us during that period of time while that guy was waiting. A lot of questions were going through his mind. I thought this guy was my friend. You know, I know he's got bread, but I'm not going to give up. And so something was built inside him, a persistence, a determination, an inner strength. Character came in the waiting period. I'm praying for things. I've been praying for some things for 30 years. I'm still praying for them. And I'm going to go on praying. And I know in the meantime, God's building something into me. Patience, character. I was talking to someone the other day who said that the charismatic movement is often guilty of giving us answers straight away. We think that we're going to get them instantly. And he said, I like to talk about process. But people don't like that word process. That it may take time to get the thing that we're asking for. There is a process going on in your life. There is a process going on in my life. That God is purifying me. He's making me holy. He's building me up. He's making me strong. And it's in the waiting period. It's the chrysalis. If you've got that caterpillar, it goes into that chrysalis, that ugly little bit of like plastic, and he's in that dark place, you know, and in his mind he's thinking, I should be a butterfly. I shouldn't be here. One day the gardener comes along and he's got his secateurs, and he gets the secateurs and he just cuts the end of that chrysalis, and the half-formed butterfly, the half-caterpillar, half-butterfly, flops onto the ground, tries to open its wings, and it falls flat on its face, and it's unable to fly, because in the pushing to get out, in the effort to break out of the chrysalis, the muscles in the wings of the butterfly become strong. So when eventually it does that final squeeze, and out it comes and emerges from the chrysalis. Its wings are strong, and it can fly. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. 120 of them in that upper room. 10 days they were in there. They thought they were in there for longer, but God had mercy on them. And after 10 days, they emerged from that room. And during that time, he was working something in them that was pleasing for in his sight, because they were the ones who were going to take the message to the ends of the earth. They were the ones who were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he didn't want spirit-filled people with no character. He wanted the fruit in there as well. So there was a waiting time, a gestation period. There was a time when he was building something in them. What did they think? There was a book that was written many years ago. I think it was called The Tongue of Flame by some ancient person. And that book is all about that 10-day time when God was building something into them. You know, is it going to be tomorrow? They were thinking. Every day they were thinking, is it today? Is it today? And when the day of Pentecost came, Jesus didn't tell them it's going to come on the day of Pentecost. But maybe they thought even more than before, is it today? And there was something growing inside them. So we need to be patient, don't we? And we need to appreciate the waiting time and let God work in us what's pleasing in his sight. So the widow comes. You know, the prayer meeting isn't to get things. Primarily, I don't think the prayer meeting is to get things. Perhaps that's an equally important reason. Why are we praying? Why are we Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Why have we been praying for years and we're going to go on praying and praying and praying until? Why are we doing that? Two reasons. One, because God gives to those that ask. In James it says, you do not get because you do not ask. So we are asking in order that we may get something. What do we want? We need a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will transform this church, that will transform the other churches in the area, that will sweep in people who do not know the Lord because they're not coming in at the moment. One reason. The second reason I go to the prayer meeting is I go to be changed. I go to say, God, I'm here today. I've got a couple of hours here, Lord, and I'm just laying my life out before you. I know I don't pray enough, Lord. I know I don't pray right. You know, Lord, that there are areas of sin in my life. There are weaknesses in me. You know what they are, Lord. I find I can't change them by myself. Lord, would you come? Would you help me in your presence? We go to the prayer meeting to be changed. Have you ever thought about that? Did you think that the people are praying just to get something? No. As we've come to God, we become aware that we are going to have to change. 2 Corinthians 7:14 says this, and you should know it by now. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear their prayer. I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. But until we do 1, 2, 3, and 4, God is not obliged. So we need to come to the prayer meeting to be changed. We need to pray on our own to be changed. When we have an opportunity to be with our friends, we can put away the video and say, let's pray tonight. Let's be changed. Let's see if we can get a little further along on those four things. Let's pray. Let's spend a bit of time this evening humbling ourselves before God, acknowledging that we are dust. That we are clay and he is the potter. That he is the creator and we are the created. That we are the ones who are in need of his grace and he is the supplier of that grace. Let's spend some time tonight just humbling ourselves. Or maybe let's spend a little time seeking his face. Getting to know him better. That we would be melted. We would be warmed. We would be changed. We would be transformed as we gaze upon his beauty. Let's turn from our wicked ways. Let God show us our sin. Show us our pride. Show us how we despise one another. In the prayer meeting the other night, somebody read out a couple of verses from James. And God spoke to us in just those two little scriptures that we should not despise others. Jesus told this parable, the next parable, to those who trusted in their own righteousness but despised others. There's a beautiful verse about God. In the Bible it says, God is mighty and despises no one. God, would you work that into my life? As that verse was read, I thought, yes, there's this person. I look down on them. This person, I think I'm better. I'm doing the right thing and they're doing the wrong thing. I was despising them in my heart and I needed to turn from my wicked ways. Do you despise people this morning? Do you look down on them? Do you speak evilly of them? We need to change because God does not change. Prayer is where we are changed in the presence of the changeless one. And if we don't change, God is not obliged to pour out his Holy Spirit. He's not going to get us perfect, but he wants a perfect attitude, doesn't he? He wants a humble attitude. There was a widow in that city and she kept coming to him. Let me tell you about the judge first. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. So that's the context. And so she's coming to him. She said, give me legal protection from my opponent. Sometimes we think that it's enough to know the Bible. If you know me, you know that I love the Bible. I don't love it as much as I should do. And I don't expect I love it as much as one day I will do. But I love the Bible. I find it a pleasure reading the Bible. I actually enjoy reading the Bible. And I respect it as the Word of God, the written Word of God, that God has put his plan here. But the book without the person does not work. You could go and read your Bible every day and not pray, and you won't receive the answers to your prayers. We must have the Word, the written Word, but we must have the living Word above all. We must have the living Word. And so this woman, she knew her legal situation. She knew that she deserved to have protection from her enemy. Are there areas in our lives where we are being ravaged by Satan? Is it our families that he has robbed and he has taken away from us? Maybe our children. Maybe the things that we pray for, there are things in our lives that have been robbed from us. Maybe it's our joy. I believe that joy is part of the inheritance of God's children. He gives us his joy. There is joy in his presence. There is joy in the Lord. Maybe he's taken away your mental peace, that you are tormented, that you are worried, that you are anxious. Maybe he's taken away your conscience, your clarity of conscience. God wants us to have a clear conscience that we're not troubled all the time by our guilt. And we are robbed by the devil, who is, he is no respecter of persons. He just wants to steal everything that he can from our lives. He wants to steal spiritual life from you. He wants us to be a church of pretenders, pretending that we've got everything that we're supposed to have. And in reality, we haven't got it at all. So he robs us by deceiving us. We need to get back the reality of those things. We need real joy, real peace, real healing, real answers to prayer. We need these things. We need to have our children return to the Lord. It's one of the things, you know, we're praying that we would be sanctified, that our children would be sanctified. This is the will of God. Our sanctification. That's the will of God, but the devil wants to rob us. So we need to go to God, the judge, and say, Lord, give me legal protection. You say in your word, it's written, that's what it says. You said that your bride should be perfect and spotless. You said that we should be the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We are coming to you, God, because it's in your word. It's written that we should be full. I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm coming to you, Lord, that what is written in your book may become reality in my life. Give me legal protection, Lord. I'm praying and I mean it, Lord. For a while he was unwilling. See, Jesus is saying, this is God. He's teaching just like the unwilling friend. This is God. This is what it's like with God. He appears unwilling. He was unwilling. But afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. He was sick to death of this woman. He said, I don't care what she's saying. I don't care about right and wrong. But just because she is persistent and she is wearing me out, I'm going to get what I want. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. 18 verse 1, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to faint. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. Can we pray too much? No, we can't pray too much. He taught them this, that they should always pray. Always pray. There is not enough prayer in our lives. I'm praying 3 nights a week. I'm praying in the mornings. I'm praying in the evenings, but I am not praying enough because Jesus said you should always pray and not give up. Romans 12, verse 12, it says, be devoted to prayer. Ephesians 6, 18, it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Colossians 4, 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing. Do we pray enough? No. We need to pray more. And we need God's help in our desire to pray. I'm not telling you this to condemn you. I'm telling you this because I need to learn this. I am on a journey. I'm learning to pray. And I'm praying this year, God, teach me to pray. Don't just teach me the methodology of prayer. Teach me even to just to get on my knees and pray. Sometimes I thought I can pray lying down in bed. So Joe and I pray in different rooms in the morning. And she goes downstairs and I've got the bedroom. And I had to make a decision that I would not pray lying down because I was snoozing. I was saying, I know it says that we should rest in the Lord, but so what I do now, because I was feeling a bit tired in the morning, sometimes life seems a bit of an effort, So, and used to, when I was younger, I would do a lot of walking and praying. But what I have found is that if I will sit by the bed, cross-legged, with my Bible on my knee, I can pray and not fall asleep. Okay? I'm not recommending yoga here. I'm just saying that sitting down beside the bed, I could pray and not fall asleep. What I'm just saying is that we just need to find ways that we will actually pray. If you're not praying every day by yourself with God, you're not going to get very much from Him. You could even come to the prayer meetings and not be praying alone. You won't get much out of the prayer meetings either. The secret place. Jesus said, go into your inner room. And when you get into your inner room, shut the door. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. If we're saying, Lord, teach us to pray, He says, go into the inner place. Just try and remove yourself from every distraction. I've got my Bible on my laptop. Sometimes that's a distraction. I have to work at not checking my email. Sometimes that little email thing at the side is going, beep, 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 saying, look at me, read me. And I could be 6 o'clock in the morning or something, you know, checking my work email. Anything the devil can do to distract us, he'll do. We've got to be tough on ourselves. Get in that room if you mean business and pray to God. So he decided to give. And Jesus said, listen, listen, listen to what the unrighteous judge said. Now, he said, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? At the beginning of this new year, I found myself praying something. I said, God, could you please get a move on? We seem to have been praying a long time for this thing, this Holy Spirit thing, this outpouring, this revival, this personal revival and corporate revival. Lord, we seem to have been praying a long time for this. Could you hurry? And I came across this passage, isn't it terrible? When God answers your prayers and you're praying something and then you see it. And this is what it says. It says, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? There's a condition to the swiftness here. Jesus said that he will quickly answer the prayers of those who cry to him day and night. Are you crying to him day and night? Am I crying to him day and night? I've said to God, Lord, I don't want to. First of all, we've got to cry. We've got to cry to start with. Does your prayer reach God's, does your prayer reach heaven as a cry? Does God hear it as a cry? Do you mean what you want? I've been praying, God, make me sincere. Make me mean what I pray, Lord. I don't want to just pray prayers. I don't want to have my quiet time and just pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And fine, I've just prayed the whole of the Lord's Prayer and I didn't mean it at all. Or you could just pray, you can sing an entire worship time and not mean a word that you say. We can sing in our sleep. But God wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear the cry of your heart. He wants to hear what you really mean. What do you want? At the end of this chapter, Luke 18, there's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And he's crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. They're trying to keep him quiet. Keep him quiet. He's making too much noise. But he got God's attention by crying out. And Jesus said to him, what do you want? And he knew what he wanted. It was obvious what he wanted. He wanted his sight. But Jesus wanted to hear, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Can't you see? I need my sight. Be it unto you according to how you've believed, he said. And he received his sight. Because God heard the cry. Are you crying? Do you care about what you're praying about? Do you care about the unsaved? You may talk about evangelism. You may do evangelism. You may talk to others about how they should be doing more evangelism. But are you crying? Are you crying? Are you like Paul who said, woe is me unless I preach the gospel? I think when they went everywhere to preach the gospel, they had a cry. They had a care. They had a compassion. They had love. God, put fire in our hearts. I pray. I want to finish with this thought of this cry this morning. In James 5 and verse 16, it says this. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. I just want to home in this last bit of this verse. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That word prayer, the Greek word means supplication. You know, there's a difference between these words. It says that we should pray with all kinds of prayer at all times in the Spirit, it says in Ephesians. Pray with all kinds of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer. Prayer generally means communication with God. Intercession means I'm praying for you or for somebody else. That's what intercession means. I'm standing between you and God, and I'm crying out to God for you. What we're doing at this time, in this season, is we're praying, we're interceding, yes. On Friday, we're going to be interceding for the children. But we need to supplicate first. We need to supplicate first. And this word means supplication. What does the word supplication mean? It means to beg. It means to implore. It means to pray as if you mean it. That's what it means. And I'm saying, God, teach me supplication. Teach me to mean what I pray. Help me to cry out. Put a cry in my heart for my unsaved friends. Put a cry in my heart for my children. Put a cry in my heart for the church. Make me want revival. Lord, I don't care. Let's admit it. Let's confess our sins to one another. I don't care. I haven't got the passion. It doesn't mean enough to me. Otherwise, God would hear and answer quickly. God, would you put supplication in our hearts this morning? In Zechariah and chapter 12 and verse 10, I can just find that. I just read it from the overhead here. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord God, Lord God, Lord God. Father, we're just in the place of learners this morning, Lord. Lord, I'm talking about this morning, but you know that I'm a learner, Lord. I'm a beginner. Father, I don't know this cry deep down in my heart, Lord, to the degree that you want me to know. Sometimes, Lord, I know I've experienced something of that cry, Lord, something of a spirit of prayer, Lord, but you know that there's much more, Lord. You know there's much more, and we want to admit, Lord, we want to confess our faults to one another, Lord. We want to be honest about it, Lord. We don't care enough. We don't care enough, Lord. There's not a cry in our heart, Lord. Help us in our weakness. Lord, you said, Romans 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Lord God, would you help us in our weakness this morning, Lord? We're admitting a weakness, Lord. I know we're not very good at that in our culture, but Father, we're saying, yes, Lord, help us in our weakness. And the Spirit helps us in our weakness, interceding through us according to the will of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give that to us today. Give us a spirit of supplication. Give us a spirit of prayer, Lord, that we may touch your heart with our hearts, Lord. Here we are, Zechariah 12 and verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me, the one whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. There had to come a mourning before the answer. And I'm not talking about a bright morning here. I'm talking about a mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. They mourned because God gave them a spirit of grace. God will give us a spirit of grace. He gives grace to the humble. If we'll humble ourselves this morning, he will give us grace and supplication. A spirit of supplication from heaven. God would give that to us. May he give us a spirit of grace and supplication today. Do you want it? Do you want it? Let's be honest. Have you got it? No. We have to admit what we haven't got. And then maybe we'll see him who we pierced. This is a prophecy about how the Jews in the last days will turn to the Messiah. And they'll look and they'll see him whom they pierced. They'll have a revelation of Jesus. And they'll see that they were part of that piercing process. We need to see that we pierced him with our sins as well. We need a revelation, don't we? As God pours out a spirit of grace and supplication. Let's pray, shall we? Amen. Do you want to just come? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Let's turn our hearts to him. Let's try and lock ourselves in that secret place this morning. Shut out all the thoughts, all the distractions, all the other things. It's Jesus and me right now. Just you and him. You and him. Us and him. Let's first admit our need. His grace is only for the humble. Have you arrived? Are you an intercessor? Are you having your prayers answered? Almighty God, in every way, you are above. Holy Spirit, we're here to admit we've not got it, Lord. You can't answer us quickly, Lord, because we're not crying. And if we are crying, we're not crying day and night, Lord. Help us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe, O breathe, thou blessed Spirit. Which is clay, like Adam, lifeless. Like the world, formless. But you're hovering, Holy Spirit. You're hovering. We open our hearts to you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Breathe in a spirit of prayer. Breathe in a spirit of supplication. Where are you on the journey this morning? Are you at the beginning? Do you feel you haven't even started? God's grace, his throne of grace, is available. He just wants you to be honest and humble. God confess your faults. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will lift you up. Weep and mourn, it says in James. Weep and mourn. We need you, Lord, to work in our hearts deeper. We don't want to go through the motions, Lord. We don't want to pretend we've got what we have. And we thank you for what we have. We're so grateful, Lord. All that you've given us, Lord. Our dear brothers and sisters, Lord. The love you put in our hearts, Lord. We're grateful, Lord. The friends that we know have come to know you. The things you've done in the church, we're grateful, Lord. But we need more, Lord. We need more. We want to be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. We want a church filled. We want your church across London filled. A new level, Lord, altogether. We're praying, we're crying to you, Lord. Lord Jesus. Let's stand, shall we? I'm going to suggest we do what we did last week. And as in the old days, they had the penitent's bench. And people would just come and kneel before the bench and pray. It's harder for us because there's nothing to lean on. But if you want to just come to the front, stand up, kneel down, lie down, sit cross-legged, can't provide the bed, then let's just take this time to do business with God. If you want to pray to him, talk to him, let's do that. When it's time to get your children, if you've got children, feel free to go and get them. If you want to get a cup of coffee at the back, do that as well. But let's just take this time to do business with God ourselves. And if somebody's got a pressing need, there's going to be time afterwards when we're having our meal to just pray for one another. That would be good. But right now, us and God, let's just use this time to do business with him.